be unto you and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The Word of God upon which we base our Reformation meditation is taken from the latter part of the 17th verse of St. Paul's first epistle to the Romans in the first chapter. We read the words, "The just shall live by faith." So far, the reading of the text. Fellow redeemed, members of the faculty, and members of the student body, this year's Reformation Festival is of special significance. On the one hand, just bear in mind the terrible crisis through which our country just passed, or for that matter, is still passing. On the other hand, think of the fact that as we celebrate the Reformation Festival, the Vatican Council is in session. There are thousands attending that council. Among them, there are some Protestants who, in a very exceptional manner, have been invited to attend as observers. They will be observers only. They will have no part in the discussion and certainly have no vote in the final outcome. During the course of these sessions, you can expect that the Vatican Council will point out that the separate brethren, as the Protestants are called, may return to the one true church. My dear friends, in such a time as this, it is well that we heed the passage which played such a prominent part in the work of the Reformation. The just shall live by faith. Permit me to point out in the first place that this was the chief cause of the Reformation. This, secondly, was the chief weapon of the Reformation. And thirdly, this is the chief blessing of the Reformation. 445 years ago today, the Augustinian monk Martin Luther nailed his famous 95 theses to the church door at Wittenberg. That which prompted him to act thus and to perform that deed was the selling of indulgences for the purpose of raising money for the completion of St. Peter's in Rome. Forgiveness of sin was actually sold for cash. When Martin Luther complained to the church authorities, he got nowhere. And it was then that, under God's guidance, he protested publicly and nailed these theses to the church door at Wittenberg, and thereby challenged anyone to debate this matter with him. Whether that debate was ever held, aside of Luther's later activities, we do not know. The sale of indulgences shows to what an awful state of corruption the church had come. Even Roman historians admit such as that. Cardinal Bellarmine said, "Before Luther came, religion was dead." And Pope Hadrian VI admitted that the disease had gone from the head to the members, from the popes to the prelates. But the very saddest part about it was that the central doctrine of Holy Writ, that the doctrine that a man is justified before God solely by God's grace for Christ's sake through faith, had now been supplanted by the teaching that a man is saved by his character, by his own merit, by good works. And here, even as demonstrated by the sale of indulgences, by hard cash. You professors of theology and students of theology know full well that if ever there was a person who sought earnestly to achieve assurance of his salvation by the rules and regulations which the church had prescribed, it was Martin Luther. He followed diligently all rules and regulations, but he could get nowhere in obtaining peace of conscience. Then, in virtually a moment of despair, he entered the cloister. There he performed the most menial service. He fasted, he prayed, he implored the Virgin Mary and other saints, and yet no peace of conscience. The church made him a priest, a doctor of divinity later, a professor of theology. But even there, he could find no assurance of forgiveness. Even his journey to Rome, that so-called holy city, offered him no assurance. In fact, the things which he saw and heard there made matters worse. And when then he climbed up Pilate's staircase on his knees, there kept ringing within his ears the passage which he had read in Scripture, "The just shall live by his faith." But he didn't understand it. However, God was using this experience to prepare him the better for his future great assignment. Then when he was made a doctor of divinity, that is, by his own admission, he was driven deeper into the Scripture. And thereby God opened unto him the full understanding of this gem, this cardinal truth of Scripture: the just shall live by faith. And hence we say that became the chief cause of the Reformation. If we peruse Luther's 95 theses, we will find that this was the all-pervading thought of the theses. Of course, he violently opposed and attacked and proved from Scripture that the sale of indulgences was wrong. However, in all his writings which followed, in his treatment of doctrinal issues, in his doctrinal documents, in his sermons, in his work as a professor, he ever used "the just shall live by faith." That was his chief weapon. And what an effective weapon. It caused the walls of darkness to totter and fall. It opened the pages of Holy slowly writ anew. It led people to realize that they could have hope in the forgiveness of their sins through the work of Christ. It defeated the cause of Satan and won victories for our Lord Jesus Christ. My dear friends, salvation by man's works, by man's own efforts, by man's character is still preached today. And the only effective weapon against this is the doctrine, the central doctrine of Scripture, that we have forgiveness of our sins before God solely by God's grace for Christ's sake through faith. Let me repeat, that's the only effective weapon. Would to God that all Protestant churches, all Protestant preachers would realize this and make diligent use of it. Instead of that, as we know too well, there is altogether too much philosophical preaching, mere moral preaching, even some political preaching. That gets nowhere. That never defeats or combats even the forces of false teaching. Only this scriptural truth, this true kernel of God's word, the just shall live by faith, can accomplish such defeats of false teaching. My dear young man, God has instilled into your hearts the desire to be ministers in the Lutheran Church. You're preparing at this time at the seminary for your future life's work. May God in His wondrous grace grant you wisdom and understanding so that you may learn from Dr. Martin Luther. No, I'd rather say learn from the Scripture itself. This cardinal truth, the just shall live by faith. May your future ministry be all aglow with that precious truth that we have forgiveness by God's grace for Christ's sake through faith. That's the chief blessing also of the Reformation. The saddest situation in the church of medieval church was not that men were kept in ignorance as far as secular matters were concerned, although that was pathetic. And wherever you find it today, it's truly pathetic. Nor was it the fact that people were poor as far as temporal blessings are concerned, because the church imposed such heavy taxes. Though this poverty was sad, and wherever it exists today, it is sad and pathetic. But the saddest part was that men who wanted eagerly to know something about their soul's welfare couldn't find it in the teachings of the church. Even as Martin Luther, all who were most earnest and conscientious and sincere were driven practically to the brink of despair. Only after Dr. Luther began to preach the text read, "The just shall live by faith," did God pour out astounding blessings upon the Christian church. Within a comparatively short while, these theses were flashed throughout Europe, despite the means of communication in that day.
people who had been so disheartened now took courage that the Bible brings a message of hope. The message that we have forgiveness before God, that we're reconciled unto Him by Jesus Christ. This message brought about the great results which followed. And my dear young friends, that message holds true today. That's the blessings which God heaps upon the church. You have an open Bible, and that too is a blessing of the Reformation. In that Bible, God has revealed to you the wonderful message, the great truth that God, in His boundless love for us sinners, sent His own Son into this world to be our substitute, to demand of Him that He should now fulfill every commandment of God's law perfectly in our stead, and that He should suffer and die on Golgotha's cross in order to redeem us, to earn for us the wondrous grace of our God in His own Son. And my dear young friends, you are preparing for that type of ministry. My prayer is that in your own personal life, in your period of preparation here at the seminary, and in your future noble calling, the good Lord may ever impress upon you this cardinal truth, the very heart of the Scripture: the just shall live by faith. Amen. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.